Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in some ways this really does tie in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe, has been read and interpreted traditionally by the church inaccurately for many, many years. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how many knows what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is? What is it? Spiritual gifts. Who else? Spiritual gifts, unity and diversity. You caught it? You know, and we tend to divide those two things. But I believe with an accurate understanding of the context and what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that those things are absolutely not divided. They are one and the same. They come from the same kingdom. So I want to just take maybe a little bit of a new look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We may read the whole thing. I'm not sure yet how we're going to do this. But I want to start out with verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." You know, I feel like the stage is set for us to kind of get derailed with what the Apostle Paul is really saying there. The word gifts there is not part of the original language. That's something that was added for clarification by the translators. And if you read the real context of or what Paul is saying, he's saying, "Now concerning spirituality..." Concerning spiritual things. In fact, that word, spiritual, comes from, it's a word that's pneumaticos. You know what pneumatic is? When you have pneumatic tools, they're tools that are run by air. It's a breath. It's just the breath, which is oftentimes spoken of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying is concerning the non-carnal, this is what that word means. It's the non-carnal. It's the ethereal, or it's a spirit. It's the supernatural, okay? So what Paul is saying, now concerning the supernatural, brethren, concerning this kingdom that's supernatural in nature, concerning the kingdom that we've been talking about this morning, concerning the kingdom where righteousness rules and reigns, concerning the ethereal, the kingdom of God, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. See, it's bigger than just gifts here. It's talking about a kingdom. It's talking about the ways of God more than the acts of God. It's talking about, now concerning, brethren, this thing called the kingdom of God, the thing that you received the word with in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about my preaching and my teaching. It was with demonstration. It wasn't filled with wisdom of man's words. But there was demonstration and power. You had this kingdom demonstrated to you when I first came to you. And that was the thing that shifted life in a paganistic society, in a people who are in an absolute degraded. I mean, you think America's bad? Check out the history sometimes and find out what these folk were into. Devil worship and you name it. They were into it. And yet the kingdom, when it was preached, came with power and it came with authority. It came with something that didn't make sense to the natural mind. In fact, it probably offended the natural mind so that it could get to their heart. They weren't able to explain everything that happened as they saw the manifestations of a powerful kingdom preached among them. So Paul is saying, now considering this spiritual kingdom, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know how that you were just Gentiles carried away by those dumb idols, however you were led. I mean, the kingdom that the worship that you used to have was earthly. It was sensual. It was based upon what you could see, taste, touch, and feel. It was based upon powerlessness. It was based upon these dumb idols that you believed in. But now, brethren, I want you to understand that you're coming into a kingdom. You're coming from a kingdom. You're being translated from a kingdom into a kingdom of light. a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. Now, brethren, concerning this translation, I don't want you to be ignorant. It's more than gifts. Do you get the drift of what Paul is talking about here? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The first thing that he wants to lay out about this kingdom is that there is a Lord, that there is a king in this kingdom. Now, concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I want you to understand that there is a king. And this king has a purpose. This king has a will. This king walks in authority. This king has something that he wants to release of his kingdom into planet Earth. See, if we can't get lordship straightened out, we put a big emphasis here on sonship. And it's good. I tell you what, that's revolutionized my life. But there is also an emphasis in the scripture of the lordship of Christ, that he is the absolute King of kings and Lord of lords. He rules and reigns in righteousness. He has a plan and he has a purpose. He isn't trying to bring his kingdom to earth without any kind of a plan in place. The amazing thing is that as he's ruling and reigning, we're seated with him in those heavenly places. You want to talk about a worldview? How many know that's a pretty good place to view the world from? Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So while we have this Lord and ruler and this one to whom we must give obedience, Jesus said, if you will love me, you'll obey me. You can't separate love and obedience. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on that. I ministered on that. Let love be without hypocrisy means there's no hidden agendas. There's nothing in kind of back behind the motivations for the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we act. We don't approach the lost and say, well, I love you, get saved. We don't do that because we want to just love them. My motivation isn't to get them saved. Do I want them to get saved? Absolutely. But my motivation has to be without hypocrisy. I just love because I love. So the Apostle Paul is opening up some dynamics of a kingdom that was diametrically different from the kingdom that they had lived under and served under. Isn't it amazing how when you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that everything shifts, everything changes, you view everything differently? I don't know about you, but for me, it was like night and day, man. I woke up, I came up out of the waters of baptism, and I was an absolutely different person. However, there were still some Klingons. There were still some Klingons, and you know what? There are still some Klingons that I'm working through. The things that God addressed today, the sin and the stuff and just the failures and the issues of life. And it doesn't mean that I just become complacent about the Klingons. When God highlights something, examine it. He's highlighting it in order to heal you of that thing. I mean, he doesn't highlight it to condemn. He highlights it because out of his great love for you to walk in this kingdom, it's a kingdom of purity. It's a kingdom of holiness. It's a kingdom that represents his Father's heart. So concerning this kingdom, brethren, we have a king. But now I want to kind of focus on the rest of the chapter, because the rest of the chapter is all about diversity. It's all about the differences. It's all about how people are created differently. It's all about how the kingdom manifests in different ways. Diversity, one body, many members. And Paul goes on to talk about that. And if we lose track of the gifts, what we have traditionally called the nine gifts, and if we just focus on that, we're missing the greater picture. Because this is about a kingdom that has many members. This is about a kingdom that has a king and a one spirit that takes and leads and directs in the release of the manifestations of the spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. And that's really the first time the gifts are mentioned there. But I want you to notice something. It also says there's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there's differences, there's diversities of activities, but the same Lord. So there's not just gifts, there's ministries, and there's activities. And all of those words have some really cool meaning that you can look into. Ministries is the same word that we get deacon from. The activities is the same word that we get energy from, where there's just this explosiveness. And then there is the charisma, the gifts, which, by the way, is just kind of an expansion of the word charis, which is grace, the unmerited favor that's come upon your lives with a purpose so that you can do the things that you can't naturally do. Remember, I think I talked that one till I was blue in the face. Hopefully we have an understanding of what grace is, that there's a twofold side of grace. It's not just the unmerited, unwarranted, undeserved favor of God that comes upon your life, but that favor comes upon you so that you can walk in a supernatural way, that you can do things that you can't naturally do. See, what we're talking about here is a supernatural kingdom. But if we're not careful, we'll walk in this supernatural kingdom with natural abilities. And what happens is there's a confusion between your spirit and your soul. Probably get into that a little bit more later. But there's these three things. And verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, there's these manifestations. One is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, now the reason that I want to get away from thinking that those are the gifts of the Spirit, for me, this is where I'm at, is because they, number one, in verse 7 it says that they're the manifestations of the Spirit, and he lists some manifestations. Now, I'm convinced that in a limitless kingdom, there's way more than 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? See, and we tend to, because we like to take and have things in a nice, neat little box that's understandable and contained so that we can somehow teach something that gives us some head knowledge, we like to take and limit the Holy Spirit. Do you see how we've limited the Holy Spirit there? There are way more than 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's not limited to 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, maybe that's splitting hairs. I just tend to think that it gives us a bigger view of the kingdom and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that these aren't arbitrarily gifts that God decides to send every now and then, just because they land on some particular person or some particular need, these are lifestyles that we live when we walk in the kingdom of God. And we can regularly expect these manifestations to come in our lives and around our lives. You see where I'm going there? But these things, I have a Lord. They have a God. They have a King. They have a will. They're put in place by the Spirit of God. You see, I can't just walk up to Brian and decide, I'm just going to give you a word of wisdom. I'm going to give you a word of prophecy, and I'm going to prophesy over your life. Now, sometimes God honors that, and he has honored that, and I've seen that. But when I come to Brian, see, I don't want it to be my word. I want Holy Spirit to give me something that's going to go deeper. I want Holy Spirit to give me something. See, I know a lot about Brian, and my prophetic word, I could read him all sorts of things that would just make sense to his head. But the manifestation of the Spirit goes deeper than the head. It goes to the heart. Verse 12, and this is really where I want to go today. As the body is one and has many members, but all members in that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many members. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, that's silly. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I want to pause for just a moment here. What we had displayed before us this morning in worship and in our time of just worshiping God together, we saw something where many members have already put something into your lives. We could go home without the preaching of the word today because the word's already been preached. See, it started this morning. I just get the thrill. I get the joy of kind of being where these things are happening. But this morning in the prayer room, small gathering that we meet before prayer, everybody's invited. And you're all invited to prayer at 9 o'clock. But somebody came into the room and she was just weeping. And it was for the body. It was for the sake of the body. And I started to understand that God wanted to release something in the spirit that was going to bring healing, that was going to bring definition, that was going to bring kind of a unity in the body of Christ. I believe some of the things that she was weeping over was maybe the divisions in the body of Christ. That diversity, rather than seeing that as something that is absolutely necessary in the body of Christ, we've allowed it to divide us. See, but if it's one spirit that motivates all of the different giftings, if I look out on this congregation and I see diamonds and jewels and individuals that look way different than I do, and yet I can value that. See, that's because it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that has made Bob like Bob is. That's the Holy Spirit that's made me like I am. Now, I could grow up and try to be like Bob, but I'd be missing the boat because Holy Spirit hasn't equipped me the way he's equipped Bob. See, and all of you carry an important part in the body here. Because you have the Spirit of God. You've got a uniqueness about you. You've got a diversity about you that is absolutely needed, but it's directed by the Holy Spirit. So it started out with Laura having that burden on her heart for the body. But then, we had from 9:20 to 9:30, we set aside a time in the sanctuary here that is we call it a pre-service worship. The purpose of the pre-service worship from 9:20 to 9:30 is for people to just come into a place where their hearts are settled and kind of already picking up on what Holy Spirit wants to do in the place. See, it's all about Him. It's all about the Spirit. I want to encourage you from 9:20 to 9:30. Can I just encourage you, if you come into the sanctuary, please just honor those that are really pursuing that place of just kind of settling in their hearts. God, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to use me today? How can I be this active member at Living Waters today that serves the entire body? But in that time, I don't know if you understood, Luke told me that the team was going to press into something new. That was really cool. Look, I saw what happened. Psalm 46, they read Psalm 46, but then they put to instruments what the psalm was saying. Right? That's what you're doing? And it was incredible because it talked about the mountains and you could hear the mountains on the drums. And then it talked about a river and Brian read about the river. And then all of a sudden the music shifted into just this incredible river type music. The piano was playing beautifully. Ben was playing his guitar, but it was all in the river. Now, that was really awesome. I was moved by that because I was seeing what was happening. I was seeing musicians who have a certain bent to them being released to do some things that they maybe don't get a chance to do other places. I thrive on that. I love that. I love seeing people go places where they're not normally allowed to go when it's led and directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know that was led and directed by the Holy Spirit? Ken got up. And do you remember Ken's prayer, opening prayer this morning? And what he read? He read out of Revelation chapter 22, which is the river of God proceeding from the throne. And it put definition into what you guys were doing musically. It just added another dimension to that. And then he prayed that all the fingers, the toes, the hands, I can't remember what body parts he mentioned, would come together and be one body. He prayed that. Now, I picked that up because I knew what I was preaching on today. But there's a demonstration that happened through the prophetic words, the word that Casey was picking up something. How about the little girl that came up and said, here. See, is a little girl any less significant in the kingdom of God than any one of us? And so this little girl initiates something and brings something to Casey, and Casey, in fear and trembling, gets up and ministers something. That was, I believe, it released some power. And then we had it capped off with Rob and the things that he was sharing. And, you know, see, this body thing that we're doing, this many members of a body, of something larger, is very, very real when it's directed by the Holy Spirit. We just had a beautiful demonstration this morning of Holy Spirit taking and directing some things, of members just kind of hearing and probably not really realizing even what they're doing. You know, sometimes we come upon things more by accident than we do on purpose. Amen. Amen. But the fact that the body is not one member. This body is not about Pastor Dave or Pastor Bob. I love the partnership that we're learning to walk in. There's a new dimension since we set Bob in apostolically. There's a new dimension to the partnership that we walk in. Have you seen it? You know, and I know that there's other voices that God's going to bring in that we have that same kind of partnership with. Because it's not about one person. It's not about Pastor Dave's church or Bob's church. It's about the body of Christ being the body. It's about many members just understanding what's in them and understanding that sometimes what you have in you is for a Sunday morning service, but I'll tell you what thrills me is when I look out in any given Sunday service and I see in the seats, I see you praying for one another. I see the body ministering to the body, that the body is building itself up in love. We have a awesome people that we have set aside for altar ministries, and they prepare themselves. By the way, do you know that Luke and his team prepared themselves this morning? You know, we sometimes think that to walk in the Spirit, you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants, and at least for me, the Lord's been challenging me to be more definite, to be more purposeful with the things that I do, with the things that I speak. I'm finding that way we can. There's absolute freedom in the Spirit to do those things, but it's not wrong to hear Holy Spirit and then to put definition to something. I'm going to go down to verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. You know, again, we're hitting upon this thing of lordship. There's a scripture that says that God sets the solitary in a family. You know, a few weeks ago, we were praying. We have Thursday morning prayer here, and our Thursday morning prayers, they're just a riot. They're fun. But one of the things that's really a riot is people, we come without an agenda. But we purpose to come without an agenda, okay? You know, and I usually do, you know, ask God, what music do you want to play that's going to take and put something into us? And so we kind of, as much as we know, we purpose to be free. We practice freedom. Go figure. So a few weeks ago, Mara Lee had a vision, and the vision was of an animal that was kind of one of those snugly warm animals, like a cat that would snuggle in against our neck. Now, we pray on Thursday morning specifically for the church, for you, for the body of Christ here at Living Waters. So she had a vision of this animal snuggling in next to a person's neck. And she didn't know what the animal was. It had these beady little eyes, and she asked the Lord, and the Lord said, it's a weasel. Of course, Bob was there. He's kind of a farm boy, and he knows what weasels do. Bob says, oh, yeah, you know, weasels, they suck the blood out of their prey. That's how they kill their prey. They suck the blood out of it. And so we started praying, oh, God, there are false comforts that we, the body of Christ at Living Waters, you and me, there are false comforts that we have allowed in our lives that even though we feel like they're comforting us, they're actually sucking the blood out of us. They're sucking the life out of us. That was a very, very, how many know that's a pretty clear vision? But God, as he oftentimes does with Marilee, is we'll pray into that and we'll go after it. And just about the time we think we're done, all of a sudden God gives her something else. And she says, Matt, I just saw the name on the side of that weasel. The name on the side of the weasel was self-reliance, self-dependence. See, so when we're talking about being many members and one body, that goes against a lot of kind of the stuff that wants to battle against that. How many know that this type of a church, which is a little bit unorthodox, you know, we don't like to settle into tradition, and traditions are good, but we're just, that's not something we worship, and we allow for some freedoms that sometimes can get messy. But how many know that this kind of a church attracts some pretty independent people? I hope I'm stepping on some toes here. In love, of course. Because by nature, the people that are attracted to who we are, the things that we're pursuing and where we're going, it takes people that want to think a little bit outside of the box and independently from status quo. And the thing with that is it translates and it transfers into body life where all of a sudden we feel pretty independent of one another. We feel pretty self-reliant. See, if I was to look at Casey's word about looking at the sin, I want to take that a step further. I believe God wants us to come to the place where we confess our faults to one another. I believe that God doesn't want to just take and heal our sins. He does. But he wants to use people to do it. It's part of the governmental structure in his kingdom that causes us to rely on one another, to not be separate from one another. See, this thing of love, it calls for commitment. Oh, doggone it, I know that's a hard one, isn't it? But how much do we see in our nation just a non-committal attitude? Well, we'll get married if it doesn't work out. Ah, c'est la vie, we'll just get divorced. Oh, let's have some prenuptial agreements. That way, if it doesn't work out, we've got a back door. You know, commitment just isn't a high priority in America today. And unfortunately, that same spirit, and it is a spirit of independence, has crept into the church. So what Paul is preaching here, what Paul is teaching here is that there is a spiritual kingdom. There is a kingdom that he wants to manifest. There is a kingdom that he wants to rule and reign in that's being released on earth, but it's going to be through people. It's going to be through you. It's going to be through me. However, that kingdom will never be released in its fullness and in its beauty and in its glory until you and I become committed to one another. See, in commitment, in family relationships, in body relationships, if I smack my big toe, I don't go to the doctor and say, cut it off. Right? I mean, but isn't that what we do in the body? Oh, so-and-so has this sin. Let's just cut him off. Let's send him out. Let's send him away from us. And we call it church discipline. See, there is a way of seeing the kingdom that's diametrically opposed and different to the natural way of seeing things. I want to encourage you. Right now, I've given this book to all of my elders, just about everybody that I've seen in the last week or so. People are probably getting ready to stone me, but it's A Culture of Honor by Danny Silk. I want to encourage you. Get this book, read it. It gives you some perspectives of not how to, it's not another how to do it book. We don't need more how to do it books. We need books that tell us, that describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. We need books that'll tell us the ways of God, not just the acts of God. And this book just has some nuggets in it that will expose you. They'll probably tick you off. They'll probably get you mad in some areas. They'll offend our religious mindsets. They'll offend some of our traditions. But they're a good offense, because we're teaching a kingdom that doesn't look like the kingdom that we live in. That's yours, Ken and Carrie. So I want to encourage you, get that book. We'll have a copy in the library, but there's just some things about how you deal with things from a heaven's perspective. From heaven's perspective, when there's a failure among us, we don't just cast you out. We will confront, but confrontation is for the sake of, when it doesn't have any hidden agenda. The only agenda in real love, I said a few weeks ago, is to honor, is to respect, is to push somebody up forward and higher. So confrontation, when there's commitment and where there's this kind of love, where we understand that we just flat out need each other, that I need you to be the best that you are, then my confrontation always will call somebody into their real, true identity, which is absolutely spotless and pure as a son, as a daughter of God. So confrontation isn't as much to point out their sin. Hey, any of us can do that. Confrontation in the body of Christ, the purpose is restoration. And see, when we start to get this as a body, all of a sudden we become a safe place, don't we? The Lord was just speaking to my heart this morning in the prayer, and I didn't even know I was bringing this into this. But really, we need to be a safe place. We need to be a safe place that if somebody's got a bruised and battered toe, they can come to us knowing that we're not going to just cut it off. if somebody's got a broken leg, we're not going to just say, well, you don't need that anymore. I don't want that broken leg to offend me. Let me cut it off for you. How does that work? And so in this kingdom culture, in this place, let me help you to understand, brethren, the supernatural, concerning the spiritual kingdom, brethren. Let me talk to you about it. You're members one of another. Where one of you hurt, the other one's hurting. When one of you is rejoicing, the other one's rejoicing. Can that be a reality? Or was it just put in there? That's kind of a pipe dream. See, we sang this morning, your glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I don't believe that's in the millennium. I don't believe that's in a future time. I believe that's as those that are called by his name get a hold of what God's doing in planet Earth. When people get a hold of how God loves people, he loves the homosexual, he loves people with the President Obama agenda, he loves. And he honors, and he wants to see them set forth. He doesn't want to see them destroyed and cut off in their sin. I tell you, if I was like Bob, I'd be running up and down the stage right now and jumping up and down and saying I'm a little bit feisty, but I don't get like that. But I'll tell you what, there's a passion in my heart for us to be able to see people the way God sees people, to be able to understand that we need each other. To be able to understand that there is a commitment that we have in the family, in the body of Christ, that has got to be real, it's got to be solid, it's got to be firm, and it's got to be one that is motivated by love. See, we're still talking about the foundations. Faith, hope, and love, these things remain, but the greatest of these things is love. How many times in our families a husband offends me I would have a wife. My wife offends me, or I offend my wife. And how many times do we in our hearts just cut them off? We put up a wall and we say, you stay on that side of the wall, I'll stay on this side of the wall. See, God doesn't expose our stuff in our families or in our body for the purpose of destroying or cutting it off or sending it away. He exposes those things so that we can be healed. Are you a safe place? Are you a safe place for your kids? Are you a safe place for your husband, for your wife? Are you a safe place in the body of Christ? Can people come to you and know that you're going to love them through their stuff? Are you a safe place in your work? Are you a safe place in your neighborhood? See, God is the ultimate safe place. I want you to understand, brethren, concerning the spiritual, in that safe place, that's where the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are going to come. And you're going to see manifestations of healing. You're going to see manifestations of words of wisdom. You're going to see manifestations of words of knowledge and faith. You're going to see the manifestation as you begin to walk like the Apostle Paul is saying to walk. You cannot separate the second half of chapter 12 from the first half of chapter 12. The first half of chapter 12, where there's manifestations of the Holy Spirit, cannot be walked out unless we get a hold of the second chapter, the second part of the chapter. And it's way bigger than nine gifts. We're talking about a kingdom that you came through a very, very, very narrow door. But I tell you, the expanse in that kingdom is beyond measure. It's beyond understanding. It's beyond anything you ever thought or dreamed about. And that's the kingdom that God is saying, I want. When Jesus prayed, on earth as it is in heaven, it was that kingdom that he was saying, I want what's happening in heaven. I want the culture of heaven. I want the value system of heaven. I want the priorities of heaven to be worked out in the people called my church. Are you serious about it? See, membership in a church is more than like, I'm a member of the Gold's Gym up in Zimmerman. I've got what Bob would call a pulpit blister that I'm trying to get rid of. You know, I went from working really hard. I went from, you know, building houses and doing all that stuff. And I went from that to sitting and eating with people. I mean, it's like drinking coffee and eating. I love it. I love it. Problem is, I love it a little bit too much. And so I'm a member of the Gold's Gym. But I, you know what? I'm a member there, but I don't know anybody. I'm a member at Gold's Gym, but I don't really feel like I have a lot to do with anybody. I don't feel a commitment there. In fact, they told me the commitment. Hey, you want to quit? You just, you know, they have a policy up there that you give a 30-day notice and you're out. It's easy. Just get rid of membership like that. See, and sometimes we kind of equate the church, the body, the local body, the local church. We sometimes equate that to being like a club membership. But I'm telling you, this is not a club membership. This is a body membership. If you feel like you're committed to the heartbeat, the DNA, and the vision of Living Waters Church, then I want to take a different look at membership. In the past, for me, and I probably need to repent to most of you, but I've looked at membership pretty loosely, pretty open-handedly, and there has to be a certain amount of open-handedness. But I'll tell you what, membership, when we're members one of another, we're a family, that we become a safe place for one another, that we can love dramatically among one another. You see, there's one place, the place where my love is first and foremost protected is in my own family. You guys are great. But I tell you what, I've got kids and a wife that are just a bit closer. I can love them in a way that I can't love you. You know, it's all the same love. It comes from God, but it's expressed in a different way. They have access into my life that the rest of you just don't have. And so it should be. And it should be for you too. You need to know the sphere of influence that you walk in. But I want to encourage you that the next level of accountability and the next level of love that I walk in and commitment that I walk in is right here in this body. That I'm a part of you and you're a part of me. When you're hurting, I'm hurting. When we're rejoicing, we're rejoicing together. I saw this dramatically displayed back a few weeks ago when our couples were going through the Love After Marriage class that Brian and Renee did such an awesome, awesome job. In fact, they're going to do it again next spring, and I'm going to be the first one in line, me and Susie. But Brian made a statement to me one day when they were probably midway in the Love After Marriage. It was a fairly long, it was what, 10 weeks?
It's scheduled for 18 weeks, but we made it into
10. Scheduled for 18 weeks, they made it into 10. They shrunk it because commitment's tough for 18 weeks, isn't it? Speaking of commitment, yeah. But about halfway through, it was maybe the sixth week or so, Brian says, well, I says, how's it going? You know, because I'm just excited about this. I'm just excited for what they carry for family and for marriages and the anointing that's on them. Our marriage has been changed just by hanging around with them for, you know, so I'm just excited. So, you know, how are things going? And Brian's response is, well, you know, right now we're kind of at a place where a lot of wounds are open and there's a lot of stuff that's been festering for a long time, and many people are facing this for the first time, and we're going to give them tools to deal with it, but right now it's a little bit raw. I remember you saying that. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anybody remember living that? Maybe we won't go there. However, I was, because my heartbeat is for the local assembly here, because, you know, I'm a pastor and I just get the heartbeat, I just came to understand, man, there's a lot of people in the body that aren't part of that class that are experiencing the same thing. You know, and I think it was shortly after that I started preaching on hope and, you know, some of the tools to take and bring the stuff that's surfacing into a place where it can be healed rather than just cut off. But I was very aware that what was happening in that group was happening in us, the body of Christ. See, and in the spirit realm, there is a connection, especially for those that are members of Living Waters Church, that we will rejoice together. We'll also feel some pain together. But it's God who sets them in the body according to his own purposes. You'll never hear us try to sell somebody that they should be a member of Living Waters Church. We won't do it. We just had our membership classes last Tuesday. We're going to be receiving members on January 8th. I will never try to convince somebody that they should be a member of Living Waters Church. Why? Because it's none of my business. It's not. It's God that sets people into a body. Now, those of you that are members, I want to encourage you. I'll probably be a little bit stronger if it's God that has set you in as members to hold you accountable to some things. How many know that there's expectation in love? There's expectation. If my love for Susie is totally without expectation, you know, oh well, you know, you live your life, I'll live my life. We'll say hi to each other every now and then, but I really don't have expectations of you. Go your way, I'll go mine. See, that's the attitude that is in the body of Christ a lot. But when you come with expectations that I expect that I'm going to be safe in my wife's heart, I know that she's going to protect my heart with her love and with her care, her concern. And she should have the same expectations of me, that I'm going to be safe with her. I have some physical expectations. She has physical expectations of me. See, so it is in the body of Christ. We can't say that we love one another if we don't have some expectations. I mean, if you're a hand in this body and you just want to serve, you just want to help, you just want to bless, I want you to have at it. And I have expectation that there are some things that I won't have to do because some of you are hands that just want to serve. I want to recognize that and I want to release that. I want to see that set free. But I also want to come to the place where I have an agreement, at least in my heart with people, that if you're doing something, that you're going to do it to the best of your ability. Does that make sense? See, there's expectation in love. I want to move down in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to wrap this up. Verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. I want to stop there because, see, the kingdom of God needs to be administrated by human authority. It would be nice if God would just sit in heaven and arbitrarily send gifts just to fix everything that's wrong with everybody's life. But God, in his wisdom, in his love, in his mercy, because such a priority of his heart is your freedom and my freedom, this kingdom needs to be administrated. On your own time, sometimes look at what we traditionally call the 9 gifts of the Spirit and see how closely those manifestations of the Spirit parallel with these people gifts that we just read. Almost all 9 of the gifts of the Spirit are contained within that list of people that we just read, whether it's prophetic, the prophet, or the workers of miracles. I love the helps ministry. You know what? And administrative. I tell you, I administration scares me. It really does. I am so glad that I have an administrative secretary, an administrative assistant. And I shouldn't really call her an administrative assistant, because she's the administrator. I probably assist her when I don't get in the way. See, and there are all of these people gifts in the body of Christ that are called to administrate and to release and to give definition to and to equip in the body of Christ. Why? So that the body can walk in the ministry. So that the fingers can be the fingers and the toes can be the toes, the hands can be the hands, and the legs can be the legs, and the nose can be the nose. And, you know, so all that these administrators are is to take and identify and release the administration of the kingdom of heaven so that it can come in a tangible way here on earth. It's the administrators that bring the ethereal into the practical realm, that bring the supernatural into the natural realm. Not dumbing it down to natural understanding, but leaving it with all the power and all the authority that's in the supernatural kingdom. See, these are the things that God's doing in planet Earth right now. When we sang that song, Jesus Will Reign, I tell you, it was more than a song to me. I see heaven coming down. Jesus will reign on the earth. And of his glory, there will be no end. But I tell you what, the administration of that supernatural kingdom he has entrusted into the hands of his people. And yet, in all of these things, verse 31, but earnestly desire, lust after, go for, strongly desire in your heart all of the best gifts. And yet, the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. It's not insignificant that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is placed where it's at. You recall, this is a letter. This letter had flow. It wasn't broken up into chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. It wasn't broken up into the first half of chapter 12 where we're talking about spiritual gifts, and now we're going to talk about the diversity in the body. It was a flow. And that flow contained everything now concerning this spiritual kingdom, this spiritual, the ethereal, the kingdom that's above our kingdom, the divinely inspired supernatural. Concerning that, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. These manifestations are going to come, but they're going to come through a body that's unified. They're going to come through individuals. They're going to come through toes and fingers and hands. And there's going to be some administrators that are set in place that are able to administrate that. And this is it's a heady thing, man. It's like, man, there's no limit. But yet I want to show you a more excellent way. And 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, says we can do all of these things. We can walk in all of those things. But if it isn't motivated, if it isn't pushed, if it isn't breathed, if it isn't compelled by love, then we have absolutely nothing. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. But the greatest of these is love. See, the thing that makes the body work is love. We cannot love, we cannot have unity in the body without love. I want to read one final, very familiar scripture, and I'm going to close with this. This has become, in the church of the city, see, there's the family where this is lived out. There's the local church where this is lived out. And then there's the city church where this is lived out. And it keeps on going. But in the city church, we're starting to get a hold of some of these paradigms. We're starting to get a hold of some of these understandings that Living Waters might be the big toe that has a very unique and special calling in this city. But Living Waters cannot exist without the other churches in this city. We cannot and we will not. Because we're part of something bigger. If you're not part of something bigger than yourself, then you're missing the kingdom of God. You're short-sighted. Psalm 133 has become something that we pray over in the city, something that we quote in the city, and something that we're moving towards. This is the prayer that I have for this house. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. How many want to live under the commanded blessing of our God? How many want to be independent, going your own way? Not many hands going up for that one. Maybe there would have been before I preached. I don't know. Let's stand together. There's just some things that I want to do in prayer this morning. As we close, we're going to have some altar ministries up front. We welcome you for prayer. If you need healing, if you just want to get touched by God, if you want to, you know, just get joyful in Jesus, come on up. They'll lay hands on you. They'll release some amazing things. They have just great things in their heart, and we open that up. But I want to encourage you to earnestly desire the gifts that are in your life, to see them worked out and brought forward. Now, not what you think are your gifts, but what has God set you in the body for? Why are you existing? See, you might think it's to be a worship leader. Maybe it is. But I want to suggest to you that there are way greater promises on your life than this local house. We tend to think that the epitome, we've reached a status when we've achieved some kind of a place in a local assembly. I want to encourage you, most of your calls are way greater than this house. They're bigger. They belong in the body of Christ. Now we need you. We need you in this house. We need what you carry. We need your uniqueness. We need to honor one another, love one another, and we want to be a safe place to see that happen. Why don't you lay your hands on your hearts? And if this is in your heart, you can pray along with me. I'm praying it for myself. Father, forgive me for that independent spirit. God, take that thing that has been a false comfort off my neck. I reject it. I say it has no place on me. Self-sufficiency, you go to hell where you belong. Just take your neck and prophetically just rip that thing off. Get rid of it. It stinks. It's sucking the blood out of you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to join me to the body. That I am a member of something bigger than me. Deliver me from the fear of commitment. Let my love be committed, especially in the household of faith. Father, let me love people the way you love people. Let me see people the way you see people. Let me see people's greatness and their gold and hardly notice when there's wrong. Father, I want love to be more than a four-letter word. I want it active in my life, both giving and receiving. First of all, from you, but also from the body of Christ. And let my love be without hypocrisy toward those that don't know you. So, Father, I thank you this morning that you can do more than we ask or think in my life. I give you praise and honor and glory, thanksgiving. Let's just worship him. God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Father, we thank you for your wisdom, God. We thank you for your wisdom, God, that you have designed this, God, that you, Jesus, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over this thing called the church, over the body. You are the head of the body, God, and you are healing your body all over this nation, all over the world, God. You're healing your body. You're bringing your body into a unity that's beyond the diversity. We thank you. We praise you. Help us now to walk it out, God, that when we stumble and fall, we get back up and, Lord, walk it out in your grace, in your mercy, in your love, in Jesus' name. Oh, go ahead, Luke.
I probably shared this a few times here. I'm always reminded of this whenever we talk about diversity. There's another scripture. I have my Bible with me, so I couldn't tell you exactly where it is, but it says, behold the manifold grace of God. And the word manifold is poikilos in Greek, and another word for that is motley. Now, you know what the word motley means? The definition of motley is things that are seemingly totally dissimilar, or totally not like one another. The word manifold, if you're a mechanic, the exhaust manifold pulls like four ports into one. But motley, by definition, is things that are totally dissimilar. But in God's view, that is the whole thing that makes it diverse. I always thought it was an amazing idea that God would take things so totally dissimilar. That's the right word, dissimilar. Yeah, dissimilar. And make them into one.
Yeah, it's definitely supernatural, isn't it? It's of a kingdom that's not of this earth. But man, I tell you, that's what I want to go for. I will not settle for an earthbound kingdom reality or an earthbound kingdom view. I want to welcome if you need prayer, if you want prayer, maybe there's some things in your life that just hinder you from commitment, you fear commitment, come on up, we'll pray. If you, in relationship with somebody else over coffee, pray together, love one another, talk about some of these things. Get deeper in relationships with one another. Okay? Bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.